I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I bristle when I hear that. Because God doesn't tell us we're a sinner. Once we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, he says that, you know, the Holy Spirit himself regenerates our spirit. And he also says in this text that we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We receive an inheritance, and that inheritance is in Christ Jesus. But we got to appropriate it. We have to receive it, and we have to walk in it. How do we walk in it? By faith. We're a new creature. That's right, Anthony.
Yes, sir.
But too many of us, we get caught up and we get swept up in our own human emotion. We get caught up and we get swept up by things we see rather than the things we don't see. The things that we see are temporal. The things that we don't see are eternal. Blessings from God are invisible. But we can see the manifestation of those blessings when we walk in them. It's up to us to choose to walk in these blessings.
Yes.
I used this analogy many, many years ago. I said, suppose one of us had the access to have a Lamborghini. All right? You have the keys. You have the title. You have the tags. Everything's clear. But you never put that key in the ignition, start it, and drive it. What good is having the Lamborghini? And use your own imagination. You know what thing you would like if you had the resources. But that's how it is with God. God has given us everything we need, but we got to use it to his glory, to his praise, to his honor. It's not about us. It's all about him. And as soon as we get that in our mind, fixated, and fully convinced that God is all about you. Lord, where I'm weak, shore me up. God, I got a problem in this area. We can go to God with these problems, these concerns. God wants us to be open and transparent unto him. And when we lay it at his feet and say, Lord, this is for you. Now you show me how I'm to walk. Problem is, God will begin to challenge us. He'll begin to test us. And so we have a crisis of faith at that moment, whether we're going to do it according to his will or our own will. So there's some things that we need to understand. He's given us every spiritual blessing. He has chosen us before the foundation of the world that we might be separated unto him, sanctified unto him. And he says, we are to walk without blame in love. See, that's what's lacking. And I look inside the church many times, and there's the love is not there like it should be. How do I know that? Because I see folks clamoring to get things for themselves. Not going to call no name, but last week at the cookout, some dishes came to the table. People clamored to the table just to get as much as they could get. I just observed that, and I just said, uh-huh. Something as small as that reveals our character.
Yes.
It reveals our motive. Because if it's all about me, that can't be about the love that God has called us to. He says what? To love your neighbor even as yourself. To esteem your neighbor higher than yourself. So if we're going to live in the position and practice the lifestyle that Christ intends for us, we must understand the word and we must understand the implications of not following God's word.
Amen.
And when we understand that when we become disobedient, we begin to go our own way, then we allow Satan then to have play in our lives. We allow the things that God has promised us to be put on hold until we get it right. And what I believe God is really doing is he's shaking the church. He's shaking his people. And he's allowing these natural disasters and these things that we see that we cannot deny, to wake up his people so that we understand that it's sooner than we think. It's the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's closer than we've ever experienced before. Bishop Butler said it. We've experienced more earthquakes, more natural disasters that has ever taken place in history. And so we must recognize that, listen, God is saying, look, the bridegroom is coming for the bride. Are you and I ready?
All right.
Yes.
He goes on to say, having been predestined to his own as adopted children by Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of his will. Do you know that God loves you and I so much?
Amen.
That he adopted us in his family. Paul talks about the mystery of the Jews and the Gentiles coming to salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. But God had us in mind before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
The fullness of time had to come before this was manifest and unfolded. But you and I must understand and know that it is God's destiny for you and I to be the ones who are the managers of this earth realm. We are to represent him. We're his ambassadors.
Yes.
And if we're going to be his ambassadors, we have to represent him and represent him.
That's right.
To a dying world.
That's right.
Because if we refuse to do it, guess what? The kingdom of God suffers. Now, like no other time since I've been walking with the Lord, do I sense the urgency that his people have got to get out and be witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has given each one of you a sphere of influence. God has given each one of you gifts, talents, and abilities. God has given each one of us assignments for individuals that he wants us to touch. And it's not all in the same way.
Amen.
No.
But it's time for us to get moving and doing the work of the kingdom of God. Because people are dying. I thought about that young lady who said, suppose that was one of my sons who's in college. See, we don't think in those terms. And my prayer is, God, that you will sensitize our heart. Give us compassion. Let us see people in the way you see them, through your eyes of love. Because then we will perhaps have a sensitivity that people are dying all around us. And it's good, yes, to come to church. It's good to praise the Lord. But when we get before the Lord, what is he going to say to us? Well done, my good and faithful servant. Or depart from me, I never knew you. You work of iniquity. It's time to stop playing games. And God can't make it any more clear. He says, we are the praise of the glory of his grace wherein he has accepted us in the beloved. Because of Jesus' obedience, because of his love for the Father, because of his love for us, God adopted us into his family. And the same love that motivated Jesus to go to the cross and to die for us, to sacrifice himself, is the same love the Bible tells me that he shed abroad in our hearts. But the question is, will we begin to practice that kind of love? And so, as I told you last week, I've changed my prayer life to a certain extent Yes, I still pray that God would bless us, bless, you know, those who are in our family and that sort of thing. But God has also impressed upon me, look for opportunity. God, show me opportunity. I don't want to miss my assignment because there's somebody that you want me to touch. And show me today, Lord. I'll go where you tell me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. You see, that's the kind of mentality that we have to have now more than ever. And the point I want to make, we're not going to get through this. The point I want to make is, look, in Christ, we have everything that we need that pertains unto this life and to godliness. We have every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. We have everything that Jesus had. That's hard to understand, but it's true. Because the Bible tells us what? That he, the same power he brought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. God has put all things under his feet and has given him head to be the head over all things to the church. Are you a member of the ecclesia?
Yes.
Are you a part of the body of Christ? The Bible tells me that the authority, the power that God gave Jesus that raised him from the dead, that dunamis power is the same power you and I have. And he's given it to us. And we have authority over dominions, principalities, thrones, spiritual wickedness in high places. If you know, and I know, that I know, that I know, that in the name of Jesus I have authority, that drives out any fear that I might be walking in.
Yes.
Because God has not given us a spirit of fear.
Thank you.
But the problem is we don't want to venture out
outside
of our own comfort zone.
Yes.
Many of us are in disobedience. God is trying to move us to different places, but because we're comfortable, we're familiar, and we have the means to make a living, we're still doing what we want to do.
Glory.
And God is challenging us today. He's challenging me today. What are we going to do with the Jesus in us? Ain't no devil in hell to walk on the Jesus. Thank you for letting me get that right.
Yes, sir.
Because you see, anytime we cower, anytime we back up, we moonwalk outside of the will of God, Satan has a foothold. But you know what gives me hope? Is to know that God has a remnant. He has a people that's going to get it. And you and I can sit on the sidelines. We can be, you know, bench warmers. But God is going to get his purpose done.
Yes, he is.
But I want to be a part of his work. Hallelujah. I want to partner with God to build his kingdom. Because God has blessed me more than I deserve. And I would dare say the same for you. If God doesn't do another thing for me, he's already done enough. Hallelujah. So it's our turn now to serve the living God. It's our turn to get out of our comfort zone.
Yes.
It's our turn to be the church that God called us to be.
Yes.
And that's why we need to have hope. Because it's not about us. It's all about him. Christ in us.
Yes.
The hope of glory.
Yes. Yes.
We have a tremendous position. We have the highest earthly position because we are sitting with Jesus in heavenly places.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
If that That's a dichotomy. Yeah. We have the greatest position on earth because we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. But see, we got to see it. We got to see ourselves above and not beneath. We got to see ourselves as the head and not the tail. We got to see ourselves as powerful men and women of God. And we got to see ourselves walking through the challenges that God allows us, because it's only to make us stronger. It's only to cause us to cry out to Him and to seek Him in a more intimate way. It's only designed so that we can be of benefit to someone else. Because He says, all things, say all things.
All things.
All things work together for good for those who love the Lord and who are called according to His purpose. See, it always goes back to His purpose in Christ, His will. One thing I've learned is God don't lie. God isn't slack in His promises. So what He says, He will do. Now when He will do it, sometimes it's a mystery, but He will do it. So I want us to understand, beloved, we're going to see some more difficult and dastardly things. And if we're not careful, Bible says even the very elect of God could be swept away. Thank you, Lord. But not only do we believe, we receive the position, but we must practice. You athletes out there know, you don't practice, you're in trouble come game time. I don't care how good a natural ability you have, if you don't practice, just from a conditioning perspective, you got problems. Well, guess what? We have to do the same thing as soldiers for the Lord. You got to practice the craft that God has given us. Put on the helmet of salvation.
Yes, sir.
The breastplate of righteousness. The belt of truth.
Yes.
Have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Taking the shield of faith to ward off every fiery dart of the enemy. And the sword of the Spirit, which is His word. Then He says, praying with all prayer, supplication, and watching thereunto. For all the saints. See, God has given us everything we need.
Yeah.
But we must practice.
Yes.
Someone said, what? Practice makes perfect.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I'm done. Praise and honor and glory for loving us enough, Lord, to shake us, to stir us up, oh God, to challenge us, Lord, to convict us with Your word. Father, only You can perform Your word. Only You, Father, can accomplish that for which You send Your word. Only You, Father, turn our hearts to align with Your will. And so, Lord, we say to You, work in us to will and to do according to Your good pleasure. We thank You, Lord, that in Christ we have all that we need in this life and even in the life to come. But for now, Lord, in this life, give us a sensitivity. Give us a sense of urgency, Lord God. Give us, oh God, a passion to serve You, to serve your people and to serve those in our communities in which you placed us.
Yes.
God, we thank you and we bless you.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Diagnosed with diabetes that requested come, and I know it's something that's impacting our fellowship, members in our fellowship. And so if you've been diagnosed with diabetes, would you come up here? I'm going to ask the elders. Bishop Butler wants to join us. That's fine. But diabetes is wreaking havoc in the life of God's people. Now, the worst thing you can do is to be shameful, not to be transparent. Hallelujah. I also want to invite, if you know someone, a loved one, to stand in for someone. We want to do that. We're going to just take a few moments and we're going to do this. Then we'll transition into Holy Communion. Bible says, as elders, and even as believers, we can anoint those with oil who are sick in the name of the Lord. Pray the prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Bible says, even if sin was committed, it may have resulted in illness, overeating, not exercise. Not maintaining our bodies in a manner that we should. Says even if that is a root cause, that will be forgiven. And because we have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, because as elders we can anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord, because we can call on Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, our healer, because the Bible says that healing is the children's bread. Because Jesus, by his stripes and the blood that he shed, we were healed and we are healed. Because we can speak life but the power of our tongue. We choose right now in the name of Jesus Christ to curse diabetes, the root cause right now in the name of Jesus. Father in heaven, Lord, we call out by name this disease called diabetes. Lord God, according to your word and according to this ability to anoint, to pray, to lay hands, to heal, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we curse this diabetes in the name of Jesus. We curse the root cause right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask, Lord, that you forgive any sin. Sin, oh God, that we may have committed on our own, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Cleanse us by the blood of the Lamb of all unrighteousness. Father, we thank you and we bless you. And because you've seated us in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, far above principalities, powers, dominions, God, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, for the glory of God the Father. And so we pray for those right now, Father God, that will be submitted to the name, the authority, and the power of Jesus Christ. And we consider it done. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. If you believe God is here, come on, give us some praise.